Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing this week?
Trying to figure out what Mother Nature's up to.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of everything this week. We had some storms roll through, then it was sunny about 7 minutes later, and then back and forth. So the temperature's not bad, though. I'll take that. And we're still, obviously, people are still getting out and buying houses because we have been busy. Got a little lull there, you know, through the 4th of July holiday and a little bit there. But things have picked right back up again, and we have just been slamming. It's been very, very busy. With us, as always, our in-house resident lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne. Tom, how are things going with you?
You know, we're fantastic, and we're keeping busy, Lance. You know, doing a lot of loans. Rates are absolutely incredible still, as people might have seen out there. So refinances are coming back through. But yeah, we saw that same thing, you know, through the fourth, it kind of slowed down a little bit and it seems to pick right back up where we left off. So cranking away.
Well, excellent. Now, I have our national real estate story and I hesitate to say that this is a bandwagon story. But I had to bring it up because even Pokemon Go has reached the real estate market.
Oh, no.
In fact, I saw probably one of the first rental listings that was actually advertising some of its Pokemon cred, you could say, in there. Because it said that in the advertisement for this rental, it said the home is right down the block from the Franklin Inn, which is currently home to a Pokemon Go gym. So not only do you have the gym there.
What does that mean? Like a Pokemon Go gym?
Well, there's some extra points involved there, Tom, if you're close by, so you can run down there too and, do some exercise and elevate to some new levels there. So
someone out there knows what this means.
So not only are you getting a potentially house and a roof over your head, you're getting some Pikachu love also. So McKay's just shaking his head over there.
My son has found 80 of them.
Okay. See, McKay, that's who we should be talking to.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest. I heard about all this last week, and I'm like, I just need to download this app and check it out. And I downloaded it, and they give you your free one guy. And I'm sitting there looking at the aerial, and it's pointing out all these different places I can go get this, and I just hit delete.
you just hit delete.
I didn't hop on board.
You know, I think I definitely think between loans and real estate and family, we might not be in the right mindset yet for this.
If I worked all day and then I told Kayla, I'm going to be a few hours late. I got 13 stops to make.
it might not go over too well.
Well, then there's the guy that quit his job so he could chase Pokemon Go full time. True story.
It's all over. And so actually, even this last weekend, my son and I, it is kind of funny to see we went on a bike ride. We actually did what I love about Tri-Cities is you can see so much, but we did just the bridge to bridge ride. So yeah. Richland, Anthony's, all the way down Columbia Park, Cable Bridge, and then back. And so we must have seen 20 people in Columbia Park, and you can spot them, you know, walking around, you know, swiping on their phone. You know, they're not out there playing Frisbee, that's for sure. So it was interesting, but it has hit the real estate market there. We have seen people advertising in their listings about their proximity to these items in this game. So I thought that was a very fitting story.
Whatever it takes to get an edge, right?
Yeah. And my web guy, I will tell you, he came in like, you know, he came in on Monday and he's like, Lance, he's like, how can we figure out how to get these stops at our listing so more people could drive by? And I said, well, considering that I've heard that they're negotiating with McDonald's right now, I don't think Kenmore Team's really their next call. so we have not figured that out yet. But if it becomes available, who knows? We might see that. We will look at all marketing angles. So As Tom and I were getting ready for the show this week and kind of going over some stuff, we always what we like to do is take a look at stuff that is happening out in the community, stuff that we see that happens on a weekly basis, and then coming back and bringing up a show topic on that. And one of the ones that we were coming across a lot, there were a couple different situations that we came across, and I think sometimes we take for granted when we're in the business and working on this every day, whether that's words or vocabulary, you know, or the perspective that experience can bring on that. And so the question we had gotten two or three times this last week was, you know, the market's really good and I see houses selling and, you know, there's a lot of resources online. I'm not really sure why I need a realtor to help me out with this transaction. And so I went through and put together kind of a bullet pointed research along with a couple stories of here's what, you know, I always say to people, you don't know what you don't know. So it seems pretty, it might be pretty simple and it might be pretty easy, but sometimes those little subtleties that experience brings can really make a huge, huge difference. So just a couple examples of a couple items that we had come across in the last week or so is, it's funny, I was actually representing a commercial real estate agent on helping them sell their residential house. They said, hey, I do commercial real estate all the time, Lance, but I need some help with my personal house and it's kind of different. So, you know, help me out. And in fact, on the show, we've even had different commercial agents in here. We usually have James Wade from NAI and explain to us kind of those differences. Well, in this particular case, this person was out of town and needed to sell a residential property here. And so they called me up and it was great. We got an offer. We got a great offer. I presented it and it had a 24-hour turn time. You need to get back to us in 24 hours. And it was so funny because the commercial agent just absolutely went off on me. That 24 hours is not acceptable. Who are these crazy people that want to know that so fast? And, you know, this is ridiculous. And I'm totally shocked, right? Like, right. I'm on the other end of the phone saying, oh my gosh. So we start talking through it. And I was like, hey, hold on a second here. And he goes, well, in my world, we have feasibility studies and we have to call our owners and there's partners. And I said, okay, this is why you hired me.
Right.
Because this is not out of line for our local market. This is a perfectly acceptable turn time, and this is what I would recommend if I was writing an offer for a buyer.
You probably see turn times faster than that quite a bit.
Absolutely, especially in the market we're doing right now. Sometimes we see, you know, 6 to 8 hours with people wanting to know. And some of that has to do with your buyers, right? So mm-hmm. if we're dealing with a millennial buyer, like a younger buyer, they're used to more immediate gratification and that YouTube world. And so there's differences there. And they might think that waiting, you know, 6 to 8 hours is after anything after that is crazy, mm-hmm. like too long. So we're always kind of taking that into effect. So by the end of the conversation, you know, we had gone through things where if he had just been representing it himself, he might have gotten that offer and not even considered it. We were able to make a slight counter offer, do it within the time frame, and get that deal put together. So one of those big things and one of those big bullet points that I wrote down was just that perspective of what they see. The other thing that happens sometimes, and we see this happen a lot, is you have different personality types. And, you know, and if you look around, sometimes there's just certain people you might not get along with. Doesn't mean that their money's not good and that their credit's not good. And that shouldn't be the buyer for your house. But you have to know how to buffer those personality types. A lot of times, you know, I kind of relate it to the fact like an engineer and an actor. I mean, I couldn't think the different perspectives that you'd be at there. Now, could an engineer and an actor like the same neighborhood? I say absolutely yes.
I could see that.
100%. Uh-huh. But would an engineer be a good actor? No, I don't think so. Absolutely not. So if somebody is representing themselves in that transaction, it's actually many times, it's almost a completely different language. You know, and an actor might be buying a house for a vastly different reason than, say, an engineer that was selling it. And so a lot of times what I've had people do is the big thing is the walkthrough. You know, when someone lives in a house and they're there every day, they love the house. They love it the way it is. Maybe they're selling to get more room. But if you walk through with a buyer, I've seen buyers walk through houses and be like, oh my gosh, this kitchen is terrible. You know, I mean, I would never pick that. The colors are awful. And probably if it was a remodel or something, the owner himself probably picked all of that items. So if an owner's there and they're hearing those things, immediately what happens, they become defensive.
Yeah.
And so if you're walking through with a buyer, because I've had buyers go through and say, this kitchen is awful. I hate these colors. I hate that wall paint color.
Got to redo all this.
I got to redo all this. And they walk out the front door and they say, This is a great house. I like the neighbor. All I cared about was the neighborhood and the bones of the house. We're going to buy it. Now, if you're in and they make an offer. And so what happens is you're that buffer there. That buyer's agent is that buffer there with that client. And so they've heard all of that negative. They know that that's just perspective for someone personally. They've heard all that negative. But all the seller ends up seeing is the seller sees an offer and the money. And what's happening with that offer. In that case, I've seen sellers be extremely excited about that, and you put a deal together. If you don't have that buffer there, man, you could have a seller that when the buyer left, that they would say, I've seen buyers and sellers together that don't gel. You could have a buyer leave, and I've had sellers say to me, I don't care what they offer me. I'm never selling my house to that person. Mm. You know, maybe they didn't like them or just didn't, like I've had sellers say that to me before. And so those are the type of situations that, you know, you can't have if you don't have a neutral third party managing that transaction. So perspectives were absolutely a huge one that I wrote down. Another point that I brought up is that your realtor can really help you negotiate. And there are a lot of negotiating factors. In fact, we've done entire shows on these factors. And a lot of times what happens is if you haven't been through, you've probably only sold, our average client that comes to us has probably only ever sold two properties. You know, and I say average. So maybe they've, and we have a lot of first time home buyers too. So a lot of times people have only never sold a home. So that very first one they do. So you've had your experience factor, your horse blinders that you have on, your experience factor has been related to two rare occurrences that have happened twice. And that's it. And so you haven't had a chance yet to see all of the potential pitfalls. What are the red flags coming up? Why is this pre-approval letter expired? Is it expired because they stopped looking? Is it expired because they changed their mind about what they wanted to buy? What did they originally offer us? And what does that tell us about their offer? Has potentially, have both spouses seen the house? Or did we just get an offer and only one has seen the house? So a lot of times knowing those questions to ask and using that can help you in your negotiations. And a lot of times we find that our clients are surprised when they say, well, let's counter at this. What's the worst that could happen? And we have two or three scenarios that could be the worst that could happen.
Well, Lance, you've done thousands of transactions in Tri-Cities.
Absolutely.
So when you compare that experience with thousands to two, there's a lot of stuff you just haven't seen yet.
You haven't seen yet. And so knowing that really helps us make some good decisions. And so I really bring it back to that negotiating factor of your realtor that you hire, knowing what to do and when to do it in those negotiations is a huge, huge point. And so a lot of times that's the type of stuff that is not seen on the face value. And so we really like helping navigate people through that situation, going through those negotiations, and then getting them, you know, the best possible outcome that we can, whether they're a buyer or a seller. I've got four or five other great points. I've also got an amazing pick three. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get with Tom at Umpqua, hear about what's going on in the lending world, and also talk about some great new properties that we've put on the market.
Right here on News Talk 870.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been going over a couple different things today, but one of those was really bringing value to the table. What do agents and lenders do to add that extra value? Because, I mean, Tom and I talk about this all the time. You know, we're not kidding anybody here, but if we didn't bring the extra value to the table, then there wouldn't be a reason to hire us. If that was the case, everybody would just go to Zillow, punch in, I'm buying your house, and show up 3 weeks later, and they'd have the keys, and everybody would be smiling and give you a hug, like on the commercial.
It
doesn't always work out that way. And I told Tom this one thing that irritated me so much, and I said, you know, why we should do the show this way this week is because, especially on Tom's side of the transaction, I'll just tell you, we had some clients and they had a pre-approval letter and it came from some national brand that you probably see the commercials on TV. And that's all I have to say about that. And they're like, I want to buy this house. So we show them 10 houses. We write an offer on the house. Luckily, we had an agent on the other side of the transaction representing the seller who had had a bad experience with one of those XYZ, you know, spaceship mortgage, whatever it is this week. And then they countered our offer and said, thank you for your offer. We love it. In our counteroffer, we're willing to accept your offer with only one caveat is we want the buyer to get pre-approved with a local lender mm-hmm. to double check what we've seen. And sure enough, 20 minutes in with the local lender and the buyer calls us back and says, hey, I'm really sorry that my pre-approval with that other company is not good. There's two or three other things they found and I'm going to have to do some work with this local lender to get it done. And so it was just one of those things where I said, okay, Tom, I know there's a huge deal. You could have saved that person a lot of time. They're probably not going to get that house now. And so I just said, let's just kind of go over some of those points of that type of value that you bring to the table. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tom at Umpqua there.
You know, I've seen commercials too, Lance, where it says, so fill out this little 5-minute form here and print out your pre-approval letter. And for the life of me, I just can't see how that is even possible. Because people in our local industry rely on those approval letters to ensure that you have a qualified buyer when they're writing an offer on a house. And when you take that assurance away from that approval letter, then you're defeating the purpose of the said approval letter.
Yeah.
And so when someone comes to us, we take these approval letters very seriously. We're going to make sure they are approved before we issue that approval letter out. In lending, you've heard that saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true, right?
Absolutely.
You know, yes. When you go and you're asking a lender for $300,000, you should expect them to do their homework. So if you can get an approval letter in less than 5 minutes, I would be concerned. And what's the validity of this approval letter? Are other challenges going to come up? What am I going to have to go through processing? So most of the time when I hear of a client who's been looking around for an online lender or a 1-800 lender, a lot of times it's like from Lance's team and they say, hey, Tom, we just had this thing blow up and we're already under contract. We're 2 weeks into it. And what can you do to help? You know, we see that. Or just like you said, they were pre-approved and the local real estate agent wanted a local lender and all of those make sense. So not only will having a local lender review your file help you in writing an offer, but it's also going to give you that assurance that, you know, that everything should go smooth. Now, when people come to my office, we sit down and go through everything face to face. And I think that getting a mortgage is one of those things that still makes most sense by sitting down and going through it face to face. We help people in, say, Walla Walla, Yakima, where it's not always easy for them to get in town and go through things in person. And it's certainly not as easy for me to go through this stuff over the phone or via email than it is if they're sitting right here and we're looking at the same form. So I can't imagine what it would be like working with someone in Connecticut or whatever it is. So there's still a lot of value in just being able to sit down and go through things face to face. And tying right into that, these online companies and the 1-800 number companies, I just kind of see them as having less skin in the game. Where if I mess something up, I'm almost expecting that client to roll into my office, come and sit down at my desk and say, what happened here? Where if that happens in Connecticut, you're not driving there to go see your loan officer.
Right. You're not going to pay them a little visit.
No, absolutely not. Or if they quote you an interest rate that sounds so great initially, and then something changes 3 weeks into it, now you're a week from closing, And they say, oh, sorry, Mr. Buyer. Actually, it's this. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
And you know, I always present it to people, too, with kind of this scenario, that good, bad, or indifferent, here is the situation. And that situation is that, number one, it's just like when Tom sends me a referral. Tom has somebody in his office and says, you know what, go talk to Lance. I really trust what he's going to do to help you get your house sold and stuff. If Tom sends me that referral and I see Tom every week to do the radio show, trust me, I'm not going to mess that up, because on Tuesday, if I do, you know, or Saturday morning when we're recording the radio show, I'm going to show up there and Tom's going to be like, hey, what happened with Jim and Bobby? And why did this go that way? And so, you know, there's a lot of accountability there. So good, bad, and different, we always say, like, we want to maintain that relationship at the highest level. We're going to work harder than somebody that's never met you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and we live and work in this community. So I don't want to run into a real estate agent at the grocery store and I just took that paycheck off the table because I gave an approval letter on maybe a client that shouldn't have been approved. And so those are the things that you should be able to avoid by working with someone local. But if you want to get a sense of really what makes us so much different than those guys, I would say it's the service and it's that face-to-face interaction. It's that extra effort we put in on every transaction, that communication. And if you want to get a feeling for what that's like, just search my name and Zillow and go to Google and type in Tom Coyne Zillow, or go to Zillow, pull up our reviews. And I got a number of reviews on there from past clients. And the common theme over and over and over again, which really rings true to my business and the way we model the business, is service. And people say it's went smoother than they ever expected it would. And they kept me up to date throughout the process. The communication was great. So these are all the core factors of our business. And on every transaction, the same client gets the same service every time. So I think you kind of miss that a little bit when you lose that personal touch of sitting down with someone face to face. You know, I think the same thing for insurance agents, Lance. When someone comes to me and they say, or I ask them, who's your insurance agent for the house? And they tell me this online company. And I say, well, have you thought about working with someone local? And it's those little things, like when a buddy comes in town and wants to borrow my truck to go see his grandma and he's visiting from Nashville or whatever. And I call my guy up and say, hey, am I covered if my friend takes my truck? Oh yeah, Tom, no problem. Boom. Okay, there's your keys. See you, bud. And you just can't do that if you don't have those relationships with local people. So I would definitely consider shopping around, working with someone local, and getting with someone face to face and get that second opinion.
Awesome, Tom. That's great, great information. Before I get out of control in the second segment, which we normally do, I'm going to get the property in because we do have some awesome property. Horn Rapids, this is absolutely a great, great place out there. 2576 Prestwick Drive. Out there in Horn Rapids, this is a two-bedroom, two-bath patio home. It's just under 1,500 square feet. It's got a great open layout, big living room, opened up to a stylish kitchen. They've got granite counters in there, an island, a great, great slider that goes out to the patio, large master bedroom to the patio also. So very, very nice property. Quiet neighborhood, low-maintenance living. There's a community pool out there, tons of walking paths, and that is coming in just under $200,000, $199,900. So great, great price, great community out there in Horn Rapids, great place to be. Pick number two, I've got, this is 221 Austin Drive. This is out in West Richland, and this is a just awesome, awesome property. Six bedroom, two bath house, and it's a Rambler with a basement. It's 2,656 square feet, and it is set up perfectly for animals. It's 1 acre, fully fenced yard with pastures, great, great maintained home. You've got three bedrooms on the main level. The lower level has a family room, wood fireplace, and three more bedrooms down there. So great, great property. You've got some outbuildings. You've got a shop. You've got the entire property is on irrigation with time sprinklers, newer HVAC, newer windows, and that's coming in at $285,000. So West Richland on an acre, 2,600 square feet at 285.
Wow.
That's a great, great property. Now, pick number three is an estate home that is just fantastic. This is 1126 Stallion Place out there in South Richland. It's a five-bedroom, four-bath Rambler with a basement. It's in Country Estates, right above Country Ridge. Bigger lots, so this is over three-quarters of an acre. I mean, you've got a chef's kitchen that is incredible, granite counters, breakfast bar, huge island, gas cooktop, wine chiller. I mean, this thing is just absolutely dialed in. You've got the master on the main level, and then downstairs, you've got an entertaining area, a bar, and its own separate wine cellar that is absolutely gorgeous. So great, great property, and that's priced at $649.9. So in a neighborhood that is very, very sought after. So there's some great summer inventory that we're getting, kind of that post 4th of July, awesome, entertaining style type of year. Great, great summer inventory coming on. So give me a call. Go to our website if you have any questions about those properties. I had a few more points to go over about bringing value to the table and some things that sometimes the real estate agent does that people might not see on the surface. And one of those big factors too is having a pool of pre-qualified buyers ready to go. So an agent that is working the business has at all times, you know, 10 to 20 buyers that they're looking at and looking around for, and they know what those buyers are looking for. So a lot of times people will say to us, well, gosh, I don't think we should accept the first offer. We've only been on the market a couple days. But the way that system works and the way that that process works is if an agent, a lot of times it might not be the first offer. It might be the first offer to you if you just put your house on the market, but you haven't seen the back process that's gone. The other agent will know, hey, we've looked at for 2 months. We've looked at 15 properties. My people have now looked at those 15 properties and they know what works and what doesn't work. And when the agent sees a new listing come up, they already know. It's not just the looking at that one property and making the offer. It's the other 15 that they looked at and narrowed it down mm-hmm. with the client. So a lot of times there's a lot of value, and we're still looking at when roughly 70 to 75% based upon studies at realtor.com are saying that those agents are bringing buyers that came to them through a referral, past client, or family member. So a large number of those sales are still happening through a word of mouth network that the realtors are working with. So that's another huge, huge value proposition that we're looking at there with the realtors and the agents out there. So those are some of the big, big points that come up. I only got through about seven of my 15 that I had brought, and that usually is pretty normal when we do shows like this. But that, if you have any questions at all about listing your home, utilizing the buyer's agents to find a new home, please go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'd be glad to get back to you. Tom, on the pre-qualification side and mortgage side, what's the best number for folks to call?
Feel free to go to our website, tomcoinhomeloans.com, or call us anytime at the office at 783-7300.
And we'll be right back here next week,
right here on News Talk 870.